Let's confess our faith together again. This time, let's use the words of the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 1. And you'll find that on page 872 in the back of the songbooks, the red songbooks. Lord's Day 1, God is glorified when we echo back to Him what He teaches us in His Word about Himself and His work of salvation. And so this is our act of worship as we confess our faith together. Page 872. Let's say it together aloud, congregation. What's your only comfort in life and in death? That I am
not my own, but belong body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with His precious blood, and has delivered me from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to Him, Christ, by His Holy Spirit, also assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for Him.
And congregation, how many things must you know to live and die in the joy of this comfort? 3. First, how great my sin and misery are. 2. How I am delivered from all my sins and misery. 3. How I am to thank God for such deliverance. Amen. Let's read together God's Word, Romans 6, 15 through 23. I'll start a little earlier at verse 11. Help us capture a bit of the context, more of the context. Romans 6, verse 11. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you're not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body to slavery, in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap also leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. May God bless that word to our hearts and lives. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, what does it mean to be a Christian? It's an easy enough question, but people have a very hard time answering that question. What does it mean to be a Christian? And I don't really mean people outside the church. People inside the church sometimes have a very hard time answering that question. What does it mean to be a Christian? And one of the reasons is that many answers could be given and they would all complement each other. But another reason it's hard to answer sometimes is because there's always a tendency among believers to drift away from the central gospel message, to the central meaning of Christianity, and to take rabbit trails and to end up in distractions and to identify Christianity with your distraction. We heard that this morning from our two friends who were in the back and spoke. They've moved off the center and into some strange distraction, which is no longer Christianity. We're all tempted to do that and to make our big thing something that's not the gospel thing. What we wear, what we eat and don't eat, how we spend our Sundays, what Bible translation you use. I'm not saying these things don't matter and they aren't issues and that the Bible doesn't speak to them. I'm saying that we're always in danger of making those things the main thing and say that's what it means to be a Christian. If you dot those I's and cross those T's, you're a Christian. Otherwise, this is what makes question and answer one of the Heidelberg so important. Because when Ursinus and Olivianus set out for the people in the Palatinate in Heidelberg or in Germany many years ago to lay out what is the faith, because the people in those days in the Middle Ages had lost sight of what the faith is, they said, let's start with the essence, the core, the center, the main thing. What does it mean to be a Christian? And it's all packed into question and answer one. This is it. And the answer is covenantal. It's a matter of belonging. What is it to be a Christian? What does it mean to be a Christian? I belong to Christ. That's central. That is the chief comfort. I am His. He has taken me. He's rescued me. He's made me His very own. I belong to Jesus Christ. Belonging. What's the most important thing for a young child? That he's got food? That he's got clothing? That he's got a car? That he gets to go to school? No way. The most important thing for a young child is that he's got a mom and a dad. He belongs. And that belonging to somebody strong and loving, that's his safety, that's his security. Much more for the Christian, we belong to Jesus Christ by faith. That's our safety. That's a security. Ultimately, that's the only thing that matters. It's all about ownership. That's what we want to see this afternoon. It's all about ownership. Once I belong to sin, first. Then Christ destroyed my sin, secondly. And now I belong to Christ. There we have it. Once I belonged to sin. Let's see from the Bible that being a Christian is first and foremost a matter of belonging, of whose you are. So you could just, if you're still in Romans 6, move ahead to Romans 14 and see where this idea comes from found in question and answer 1. It's in Romans 14, 7 through 9. So much of the catechism just breathes the Bible, and Romans 14, 7 through 9 are really found in question and answer 1. Look at Romans 14, verse 7. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Here we have it. So whether we live or die, we belong. We belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. Whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord, belonging. And when Paul or Peter describes who are you in 1 Peter 2, who are you as the church, as the gathered believers? Here's how he describes it in 1 Peter 2. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Here we go, a people belonging to God. Once you are not a people, now you are the people of God, belonging to God. I give one more example, Titus 2:14. Jesus Christ gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Purify for himself a people that are his very own. That's what it's all about. Christ making me his very own. I belong to Jesus. That was not always true for us, beloved. At one time we belonged to sin and Satan. That is, Satan owned us through sin. Go back to the Garden of Eden. We chose to disobey God. That's what sin is, disobeying God. But in doing that, we chose to enter into a covenant with Satan and to belong to him as our father and our master. That's why Jesus said, you belong to your father, the devil, when he spoke to those who rejected him, did not want to belong to him. You belong to your father, the devil. So when we chose sin, that choice was a choice to have Satan as our Lord and Master, our dark Lord. If we don't belong to Jesus, there's only one other option. There's no middle ground, brothers and sisters. If we don't belong to Jesus, we belong to Satan and we're under sin. We're under the tyranny of the liar and the murderer held captive to do his will. And that's what we read in Romans 6. That's where Jesus found us when he came and sought us. You used to be slaves to sin, Romans 6 verse 17. You used to be slaves to sin. Sin owned you. What does that mean, to be slaves to sin? Well, he describes that in verse 19. What does it mean to be a slave to sin? You used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness. It's a very graphic picture. You'd take your body parts and you would offer them up on the altar of sin and say to sin, here you go. You can have my hand. You can have my eyes. You can have my ears. You can have my feet. You can have my mind. You can have my emotions. You can have my whole being. That's what it means to be owned by Satan through sin. If sin said, speak harshly to your wife, you listened. If sin said, despise your husband, you listened. You didn't stop yourself. If sin said, check out that impure and unclean movie or website, you listened. You didn't stop yourself. If sin said, it's okay to sleep with your girlfriend, you don't need to be married, you listened. You felt you had to obey or you wouldn't survive. Or life wouldn't be good. If sin said, you need to complain and you need to fight because things didn't go your way, you need to get really mad, you listened. If sin said, you can't forgive that person after all he did to you, you've got to hate that person. When sin said that, you obeyed. If sin said, don't be thankful for what that person has or can do, be envious. He shouldn't have all that. Look down on him for his privilege. I belonged to sin and Satan by nature. That's how Christ found me. And that didn't mean that I was forced against my will to sin. Satan made me do it. Living under Satan's tyranny is the opposite of being forced. It means my will is in love with sin. I crave it. I obsess it with it. I'm totally convinced I can't live without it. I'm convinced, my mind is convinced that Satan's lies are the truth and God's truth is the lie. Paul says it in Titus 3, once we were slaves to our various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. Sin spoke and we listened. You know what it means to belong to sin and have sin as your slave owner and slave driver? It's a harsh and merciless master. Sin doesn't care about you at all, brothers and sisters. Sin, in fact, wants to kill you. It wants to kill you and will kill you if you don't get out of it. If you don't get out from under the tyranny of Satan, sin will kill you. Oh, you're merrily rolling along through life thinking it's going okay. But it's going to take you deeper and deeper. Again, remember that picture of the python. Sin is that python. The stranglehold on your life gets tighter and tighter till the squeeze kills you. You need to be set free. I need to be set free. That's the greatest need, to be set free from sin and Satan as my master, my tyrant, my dark Lord. And I need to say today, and you need to say today, Lord, I'm a slave to sin. Satan rules my life, and I need you to come and set me free and make me yours. Have you said that? Have you come to that spot in your life? I need you to come and set me free from sin and make me yours. And you may be sure that that's exactly what will happen to you. Christ has come to set you free from your sin. And that's what we see secondly. I belonged to sin. Sin was my owner. But God sent His Son to confront my sin and to confront Satan, my Lord, and to destroy them. And that's the good news. What's your only comfort in life and in death? That I'm not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with His precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. That's the good news. My life was buried under a boatload of guilt against God for all my sins. And even worse, I was buried under a boatload of guilt, but also my life was chained to sin as my dark lord. And I was hopelessly attracted to Satan, my killer. I was hopelessly obsessed with Satan, my killer, and in love with sin. And when I was in that stranglehold, that python grip of Satan, who was squeezing the life out of me, that's when God came to me where I was, in my prison, to set me free. He sent His Son to confront my sin. We read that in Romans 6, 17 and 18. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed that form of teaching, the gospel, to which you were entrusted. You've been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Romans 6, 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Sin, brothers and sisters, is a two-sided thing. It's a debt you owe. It's a debt I owe to God. Jesus taught me to pray, forgive my debts, is another way of saying forgive my sins. It's a debt. At the same time, it's a power that controls me. It's a debt I owe to God. It's a power that controls my heart and life. And Jesus came to destroy both the debt of sin and the power of sin. First, He came to destroy the debt. I deserve never-ending punishment from God. That's the payment He requires for my sin. That's the debt I owe. And Jesus paid that whole price of my sin by offering up unto God His unblemished life in perfect payment for my debt. He paid a debt He did not owe because I owed a debt I could not pay. Remember that saying. By His precious blood, He has paid for my sins. 1 Peter 1. You were ransomed from the empty way of life inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. Sin is a debt I owe. Jesus destroyed my sin by paying that debt. My debt is removed in Him. My curse is gone. My guilt is done. I'm right with God through faith. But redemption is more than forgiveness. Remember, sin is not only a debt I owe, but also a power that controls me. And Jesus confronted that too. Deliverance. He fully paid for all my sins with His precious blood and delivered me, set me free from the tyranny of the devil. When Jesus purchased my freedom, He paid my death sentence. He now had the right to go to my prison, go to my cell where Satan had me in chains, open that door, tie up Satan, set me free. That's the picture Jesus Himself used. Describes Satan as that strong man who has us all chained and locked up inside his prison, and we can't get out until a stronger man comes, ties up the strong man Satan, and lets out the captives. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. As Charles Wesley wrote, long my imprisoned spirit lay fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Freedom. Christ destroyed my sin. He paid the debt. He destroyed the power of it. Comfort. And this comfort is not found in Heidelberg. We love the Heidelberg Catechism. But not because it's the Heidelberg Catechism. Even that can become a distraction. We love the Heidelberg Catechism and any catechism that gets us to the gospel, takes us to the cross. The comfort is not found at Heidelberg, but at the cross where our Lord was crucified for us. And we were crucified with Him. So that He destroyed our guilt and He destroyed the power of sin. Wow. And that's where our confession of faith takes us constantly, to the cross, where Jesus purchased and accomplished our salvation and made us His very own. And brothers and sisters, that's where your freedom is, in Christ crucified and risen from the dead. There again, there's the center. I belong to Christ crucified and risen for me. What does it mean to be a Christian? It's all about ownership. I belong to Jesus. Don't let yourself be moved from that center. I know there are times when we have to be involved in other issues that are important because the Bible deals with them too. But never let those other issues become a rabbit trail that pull you away from the center, but rather view those other issues in terms of how they relate to the center, so that we're always close to the cross and never, never running from it or forgetting it. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's where comfort is. That's where freedom is. The world says freedom and power are found in sin. I shouldn't be shocked anymore, but I'm still shocked every time when the world gets so upset at the very thought that somebody might someday outlaw abortion, the murder of babies. You're taking away a woman's freedom. You're taking away her empowerment. How did we get there? I think that's a man's agenda imposed on women so that men don't have to deal with the consequences. And they foisted that agenda on women. There's no freedom in killing babies. But that's what the world says. Freedom and power are found in sin and in the right to sin and to disobey God's law. Oh, how we need Jesus. How a woman who has had an abortion needs Jesus to forgive her of that sin and to set her free from the power of sin. How a doctor who has performed abortions, a dad or a husband who has prompted an abortion, needs Jesus. How many in our culture are reeling from the disaster that sin has brought in their lives. I bring you the good news, congregation. There's a doorway to freedom for you. A doorway out of the tyranny of sin and Satan. And it's Jesus. He's the only door. He's your only comfort in life and in death. And that's the comfort we need to proclaim to a world of more than 7 billion people who need this comfort just as much as we do. I belong to Jesus. He owns me. I am His. That's the good news the world needs. A world in tyranny, under Satan's tyranny. Christ destroys sin's ownership over your life. Ask Him to come to you and destroy sin's ownership over you and to set you free so that, thirdly, you belong to Christ. It's all about ownership. The gospel is all about ownership. I once was owned by sin. Christ destroyed my sin. Now Christ owns me. I belong to Him. What is your only comfort in life and in death? That I'm not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. There's the ultimate Christian freedom. It's not freedom from sin. Not even freedom from Satan's control. That's part of it. But ultimately, it's freedom in Jesus. The freedom of belonging to Jesus. Just like the little boy or the little girl is not made secure by food or by going to school or by having nice clothes or a new pair of shoes. We like those things. But what makes you secure is you've got a mom. You've got a dad who cares about you. That's a very dim reflection of the greater belonging. You've got a dad in heaven, God the Father, who's got a son named Jesus, who perished for you so you will never perish. And a life-giving Spirit who lives in you so that you stay tied to Jesus. And never get disconnected from Him because of the Spirit who is a bond of communion between you and the Savior. Wow. He made me His own. Again, Titus 2:14, we read it earlier. Jesus Christ gave Himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for Himself a people that are His very own, a people that are His very own, eager to do what's good. And brothers and sisters, when we say that being a Christian is about belonging to Christ, we're saying that being a Christian is about slavery, a new kind of slavery. Now, maybe you don't like to think of it that way, but that's how Paul speaks about it in Romans 6. You've become slaves to righteousness. When Jesus took you from death to life, you became slaves to righteousness. And then he puts it stronger in verse 22. You've been set free from sin and you've become slaves to God. But it's a completely different kind of slavery. Not a slavery of outward coercion where you're compelled by threats and whips and money. Not a threat of outward coercion, but inward compulsion. You love the Lord. You desire to give your life to Him. You know you're safe with Him. You don't want to give your life to anybody else. He makes you wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for Him. But far more important, He's a wonderful owner who loves you. So much that He gave His life for you. He takes care of you, body and soul, in life and in death. He watches over you day and night, so not a hair can fall from your head without the will of your Father in heaven. He works all things together for your salvation. That's a slavery that saves. I really can't do without this Jesus. I will perish if I'm apart from Him, even for a moment. Slavery to sin destroys. Slavery to Christ saves and builds and exalts and glorifies. It puts your feet upon a rock. And that's what it means for our lives. As slavery to sin means offering the parts of your body to sin. Paul says it's true the other way too. Look at Romans 6 verse 19b. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness leading to holiness. Being Christ's slave means He owns you body and soul, and you gladly offer to Him all the parts of your body. Paul says, whether by my life or by my death, I only desire that Christ be exalted in my body. He also says, you're bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. We must offer our voices to glorify the Lord. We must use our hands to the glory of God. Let the thief no longer steal, says Paul, but rather let him labor doing something useful with his hands so that he might be able to share with those in need. That's the new life of glorifying God. I belong to Jesus. My hands belong to Him. And here's the challenge, because maybe there's somebody here thinking, if I truly surrender my life to Jesus, I won't have the freedom to enjoy my sin anymore. So I'm going to just take a few steps back and withhold myself, and that gives me some space to sin. And there are honestly those who will not come too close to Jesus because it will mean letting go of their sin, and that's what they don't want to do. I tell you, if that's the way you're thinking or living, you've got a terribly wrong view of Jesus. Like somehow getting too close to Him is going to endanger your life and endanger your freedom and endanger your joy. That's a lie. That's a Satan's lie straight from hell. Because in actual fact, the distance you stay away from Him in order to have room to sin, that's what's going to kill you. That's the snake, the python that's strangling you. And today you need to say, Lord Jesus, I'm tired of being independent of You and trying to be on my own. That's death. Come to me. Rescue me, from my sin, my love affair with sin. And take me and make me Your own so I too can say, I belong to Jesus. That's what it means to be a Christian. I belong to Jesus. That's where we're safe forever. That's the only place we're safe. And then no matter what happens, whether we live or die, if we belong to Jesus, we're good. We're fine. We're full. We have eternal life. We're blessed forever. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, sometimes we still have this thought that if we withhold ourselves from you, there we still have some freedom. Show us again today that there is no freedom in being away from you. The only freedom and comfort and security is belonging to you. You are good. You are loving. You are powerful. You are strong. You gave your life for us. There's no one like you. Remind us again today, or teach us for the very first time, that you are the only master worth having. Take us. Make us your own. Pull us closer and closer into fellowship with you through the power of your Spirit. Go with us in the coming week and enable us to live our lives for Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us. In his name we pray.